Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond with you today. I got just a bit of a cold today, so we'll do the best we can with the voice today. Bear with me, if you will, please, and pray for me. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for today, and thank you for your wonderful blessings. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation that we have only in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells within us, is our comforter, our guide, our teacher, one who prays for us with words and groanings that we just can't even understand. Thank you, Father, for all the provisions that you have given to us, and thank you for this day. May we use it for your glory. May we use it to give you praise and honor in all that we say and do. And Father, as we open your word today and find your good word for us today, we pray for your Holy Spirit to speak through this voice today, as raspy as it is because of the cold. Speak through me, I pray, Father, that the words I speak today will not be my own words, but they may be your words spoken through me as a vessel in your hand. May we all hear your word today and apply it in our lives for our growth and for your glory and for the exalting of the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, dear friend, thanks so much for joining us today on A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. We're continuing, of course, in our messages concerning Jesus Christ and asking the question, is he really who he claimed to be? We've been doing this for some time. I noticed that we are up in the 80s in messages just on this particular subject. We've been doing this for more than a year now, as we've been speaking concerning Jesus Christ and who he is, gaining evidence from God's word. We've seen angels speak of who he is. We've seen God himself, the Father, speak of who he is. We've seen the Holy Spirit speak of who he is. We've seen human witnesses speak of who Jesus is. And we've been examining most recently in the Gospel of John the words of Jesus himself as he spoke of himself and said often, I and the Father are one. You've heard me, you've heard the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. I say what I hear the Father saying. I do what I see the Father doing. I and the Father are one. He said, I proceeded forth from the Father, and I'm going back to the Father. And here in John chapter 14, of course, we are in these chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. These wonderful chapters in John that are spoken by Jesus, the words of Jesus as recorded by the Apostle John. And these are good messages for us today. They were messages for the disciples at that time, the apostles at that time, and they are equally applicable to us today as followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in chapter 17, which is really the Lord's Prayer, that great high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father on our behalf, that he would be glorified in order that we might be glorified. He said, I pray not only for these who are here, but I pray for all who will come after them. That includes you and me, dear friend. I'm so grateful for that today. In John chapter 14, let us read very briefly scripture that begins with verse 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is who loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Judas Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. But let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, we'll stop there at the conclusion of verse 27. Reading verses 18 through 27 of chapter 14 of John. Here Jesus is speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may be with you forever. That is the Holy Spirit. He also says in verse 26 that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatever I have said to you. So, in verse 23, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, that is the Father and I, will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, we've examined in previous sessions the coming of the Holy Spirit and seen that the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus. Here in John 14, 15, and 16, we have the majority of what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, and he will be with you. He will not speak of himself, he said in John chapter 16, but he will take of mine, and he will give it to you. He will bring to your remembrance things that I've said to you that you don't understand now. Now, why did they not understand them now? Because at this point in time, as Jesus is speaking these words, the Holy Spirit had not yet come. The Holy Spirit was not yet indwelling the believer. Consequently, these men were operating only in human intellect, only in human strength, if you will. They were understanding as best they could, humanly speaking. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will reveal to you, Jesus said. He will remind you. He will bring to your remembrance these things and help you to understand them. As we study God's Word, we are to pray for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. The Holy Spirit gave us this Word. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this Word to us and to truly be our teacher. You notice that as I began this message today, I ask that the Holy Spirit speak through me. That's my desire. That the words that I speak not be my own words, that coming out of my own human mind or intellect, but they be the words of God, spoken by the Holy Spirit through me as a vessel of God. That's my desire today, dear friend, to speak the very words of God, not my own, but his words that are spoken in me and through me by God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is taking the place of Jesus, if you will, here with us on this earth. And of course, today we have the Holy Spirit with us and in us. Not only the Holy Spirit, but verse 23 of chapter 14 makes it clear that we have the Father and the Son with us as well. We are indwelt today. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, Do you not understand? Do you not know that your body is the very temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, he spoke of the body as being the individual human body, and he spoke of the body as also being the body of the church. The Holy Spirit indwells both, you see. If you have a group of individuals together as a local church, each of those individuals being indwelt by the Holy Spirit then is indwelling the full body of Christ, the local church. So it is both. We're indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit being the very power of God. Remember that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Christ, and the purpose of Christ was to reveal the Father. So that's sums it up really in the Bible terms. Hebrews states that Jesus was the exact representation of God here upon this earth. Now, in these verses that I've read to you today, at least twice, Jesus speaks to those who keep my commandments. Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. He that loveth me not will not keep my sayings." Verse 24. And then down in verse 27, well, in verse 27, we speak of the Comforter coming and the peace of Jesus Christ being given to us. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my word, but he that loveth me keepeth my word." Now, Jesus spoke of commandments that he was giving to us. And here in John chapter 14 and 15, we have some of those commandments that Jesus gave to us. In John chapter 13, for example, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now remember that in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus responded to the lawyer who came and asked him the question, "Good master, what must we do to do God's commandments or to keep God's commandments?" And he asked the question, "What is the greatest of the commandment?" in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus responded in this way, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And he said there's another that is like it. "It is the second is like unto the first," he said, "to love your neighbor as yourself." He went ahead to say there in Matthew 22 that on these two commandments depend or hinge the whole law and the prophets. Jesus is saying that everything is wrapped up in these two commandments. Love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Here Jesus is saying, "A new command I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another." Now Jesus is getting ready to lay his life down for all of us, for these disciples that he's speaking to, and indeed all of mankind. He is getting ready to demonstrate love in its finest moment, love to the nth degree, if you will. "Love one another," he said, "as I have loved you. Keep my commandments," he said. And he's saying here in these chapters 13, 14, and 15 that if you love me, if you truly love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, here the commandment is to love God and to love one another. There are some other commandments that Jesus gives us, of course, in these chapters. If we go back to early John, for example, we find Jesus commanding the disciples to come and follow him and to go with him. Now, Jesus is the truth, and he says, "Come and follow me. Come and go with me." He says in the early chapters of John, chapter 6, for example, to believe in me. In fact, we might say that is the beginning of the keeping of the commandments of Jesus, to believe in him. In fact, in John chapter 6, Jesus describes the whole work that we have to do as believing in him. Look at these verses in John chapter 6, verses 47 and following. Verses 27 and following. John chapter 6, "Do not work for food that spoils," Jesus is saying, "but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he sent. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must believe, you must be born again. And in order to be born again, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe in him. We must receive him into our heart and into our lives. Those are the beginning commandments of our life as a child of God. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him into our heart and into our life, and then to walk with him. In John chapter 1, John spoke of Jesus as being the light of the world. And he said, we are to follow that light. We're to walk in that light. And that is the commandment that we're to follow when we believe. We believe, we receive Jesus, and then we walk in the light, or we walk with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. So we are to believe in him. That is our work, as Jesus said in John chapter 6. We are to receive him into our heart and into our life, and then we are to walk in that light. Jesus said, if you walk in me, you will have eternal life. I will give eternal life to you if you come believing me, if you come receiving me, if you walk in that light. Jesus went ahead to say in John chapter 12 that whoever serves me must follow me. Serving him is following him. In John chapter 10, Jesus spoke of being the shepherd and we being the sheep. And he says, my sheep follow me. My sheep know me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They will not follow the voice of a stranger, he said. So we're to follow him. We're to walk with him. We're to go with him. We're to go where he goes. We are to do what he does. We're to humble ourselves before him. And that is another commandment that is necessary for us to follow. For God says that he will lift up the humble, but he will bring down the proud, so to speak. So we're to humble ourselves and to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So we are to believe in him. We are to receive him into our heart, in our life. And then we are to walk in him, follow him, go with him, walk in the light. He is the light. Walk in the Spirit of truth, Jesus Christ. Walk led by the Holy Spirit. So we are to love as he loves. And that pretty much sums up the total of our commandments. For if we love as Jesus loved, then we will be doing all the other things, you see, that God wants us to do. We will be doing all those things of the Old Testament. We will not be stealing from our neighbor, for love demands that we treat our neighbor as we would treat ourselves. We will be keeping the commandments of the Old Testament as we love God and as we love one another. So in John chapter 13, when Jesus said, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that pretty much sums up the total truth of God's word, that we're to love God and that we are to love one another. So Jesus said to walk with him, to walk in his light, to keep his words, to keep his commandments, to follow him, to humble ourselves before him, to submit ourselves to his lordship. Now, let's look at a few others. In John chapter 14, as we read here today, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. That's verse 23. He will obey my words. He will keep my words. Moving on to John chapter 15, that wonderful chapter where Jesus speaks of being the true vine and we are the branches, he reminds us that we are to stay attached to him. Verse 4 of John chapter 15, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain now in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." This is some beautiful language here in John chapter 15, speaking of Jesus being the true vine and we are the branches. And he wants us to abide in him. That is a commandment, to abide in him. And he points out that that is the only way that we can bear fruit, is to abide in Jesus Christ. He is the true vine. We get our sustenance from him. We bear fruit when we are attached to him. And that's speaking of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the kindness, the faithfulness, the patience, the self-control, all nine of the fruits of the Holy Spirit as they're listed there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all that you are. And love one another as you love yourself. Jesus summed it up here in John chapter 15 when he's speaking of being the true vine and we being the branches. We are to love him. We're to love one another as he loved us. So prove to be my disciples, he said. Now, don't confuse obeying the commandments out of duty and obeying the commandments out of love. If we're obeying the commandments out of a sense of duty, then we're approaching it from a legalistic standpoint. We're approaching it from the standpoint of the Old Covenant in the Old Testament. We're approaching it from the standpoint of the law, which we must keep. That's duty, my friend. Jesus spoke of something much more important than duty. Jesus spoke of something much higher than duty, and that is love. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul wrote, "Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was found in Christ Jesus, who, although he was God, did not look upon this as something to be grasped and held on to. But he voluntarily laid aside his glory for a time. He took upon himself the robe of flesh, and he walked among us, being obedient to God the Father, even to the point of the cross." Yes, Jesus went to the cross in obeying the Father's commandments. He said, "Even as I have obeyed my Father's commandments, you are to obey my commandments." The commandments of Jesus, to love God and to love one another as we love ourselves. This pretty much sums up the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you are going to abide in me, you must keep my commandments. Now these commandments come out of a love in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have love within us if we have God within us, my friend. John said in 1 John that God is love. We cannot love with the love of God until God dwells within us, until we're submitted to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, until we are led by the Holy Spirit, until we are under the lordship of Jesus Christ, then God's love can flow in us and flow through us. And it is really God's love that we see operating here. When God's love is flowing, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, Jesus said, Jesus promised. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the very power of God dwells within us. This is love, God within us, and God flowing into us and through us and from us touches the lives of others. It is the love of God that enables us to love in spite of the actions of an individual. It is the love of God that enables us to love the person while not loving the sin at all. It is the love of God that enables us to forgive, forgive, and forgive again. How many times are we to forgive? There's no limit on the number of times we're to give. Are we to forgive only if someone asks for forgiveness? No. We're to forgive whether they ask for forgiveness or not. We're to forgive whether that other person is repentant or not. You see, our actions should not depend upon the other person, what they do or do not do. When we have been wronged, we do not let that wrong dictate our actions. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, on that beautiful chapter on love, and let's turn there and conclude our message today with this beautiful, these beautiful words from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very familiar chapter concerning love, of course. And Paul sums it up for us. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seek her own way. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Finally, love beareth all things, love believeth all things, love hopeth all things, love endureth all things, love never fails. Whether there is prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all you are. And love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else, Jesus said in Matthew 22, depends on these two things. Love God. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandment of Jesus. Jesus said, love one another, and so prove to me my disciples. Others will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. Let God's love be in you today. Let God's love flow from you today as rivers of living water. And this is a good word from God's holy word for all of us today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.